financial literacy, and the human condition. Welcome to Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, Dr. Francis Raham.
Welcome to Financial Fitness. I'm Jess Tyler, along with the Money Doctor, Dr. Francis Raham. Hello.
Hi, Jess. How are you?
I'm good. What do we have on tap for this week?
Well, mortgage rates are through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
Well, boy, that's a bad combination of terms, I guess, but they are bad pun. But there are ways to get a home with a really low mortgage rate still. And it's not a variable rate mortgage, but it's one that even many realtors aren't really aware of or maybe don't talk about very much. So I don't know if you've heard of it, an assumable mortgage.
I have not heard of it, but I'm going to assume it means taking over someone's mortgage. Is this kind of like a foreclosure sort of?
It's not like a foreclosure at all, actually, but it does mean taking over somebody's mortgage. So we're going to go through the details here, but you can buy a house if it has an assumable mortgage on it and still get that same low rate. So if somebody got their mortgage at 2.49% and it's the right kind of mortgage, mm-hmm. and you qualify, you can take over that mortgage at 2.4% and still just fund the difference. We'll go through the math, but just to get an idea of what that means, let's see. So the kinds of mortgages that qualify are government-backed mortgages. So there'll be FHA, like Federal Housing Authority,
mm-hmm.
USDA, United States Department of Agriculture, or the VA, the Veteran Affairs, right? So you're looking for mortgages that are like that. Now, there are several startup companies that are starting to put out lists of these mortgages so that you can go house shopping for a mortgage or go house shopping by looking at the mortgage rate and say, well, gee, there are houses in my area mm-hmm. and I can get these mortgage rates and they're published. So I could go for this house at 2.49% or I could go for that house at 4.06%.
But why would the homeowner want to do that unless you were giving them a lump sum payment for like the equity? Is it because the house is going to get taken away if they don't? Or what's the incentive?
No, it's a built-in feature of the assumable mortgage. So why would a homeowner want to sell like that?
Yeah.
Because it's a sales tactic. If you're selling your house in this market, so that's a great question. Let's look at this logically, right? I have a house for sale and Jess wants to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
And in order for Jess to buy it, she's looking at a mortgage rate of what the current average is for a 30-year fixed rate mortgage right now is 7.09%.
Ugh. It's terrible.
It's high, right? Now, it's not as high as it was when I first started, in real estate and flipping houses and started in the financial business in general in the late 80s.
Mm-hmm.
We were looking at mortgage interest rates, you know, in the 80s were up to 18%.
Wow.
And that's when these assumable rate mortgages became really coveted. So I would actually look for homes that had assumable rate mortgages. I would look mm-hmm. for an FHA home or a VA loan, right? Because the seller can use it as a perk. So if I want to sell my home and Jess wants to buy it and she's looking at, say, a 7.09% mortgage, her mortgage payment on my home, let's say it's a $400,000 home, that might be about $2,500 a month.
Mm-hmm.
But if she can take over my assumable mortgage, right? Maybe I only owe $300,000 on the house and it's up for sale for $400,000, right?
Okay.
So that's
yep.
your equity question. I have $100,000 in equity. So why would a seller want to do this? Well, I could say, Jess, I have an assumable mortgage at a 2.49% rate, which you can take over, and I still owe $300,000 on this house. So that would bring your payment down to about $1,700. I'm using rough figures here.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of $2,500 a month, you'd be paying maybe $1,700 a month. There's a couple little caveats we'll go into. But then you have to do something about the extra $100,000 I want. That's my equity, right?
Right.
But getting a second mortgage for $100,000, even if it's, say, a home equity line or something at 9%, it's still going to bring your payment down lower if the first mortgage is low enough, because you're basically borrowing $300,000 in this scenario at 2.49%
mm-hmm.
and $100,000 at the higher rate.
Wouldn't you have to come up with that $100,000 though before you could take over the house? Like that's, I think, where I would get caught is, okay, yeah, you could take a second mortgage, but you're going to have to give them that $100,000 ahead of time. They're not going to actually take over. Yeah.
You're absolutely right. And that's the big stumbling block for people. And so even a lot of real estate agents don't know their way through this, mostly because they haven't been popular since the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
But with rates where they are, this is a very attractive way if you can find one. And there were something like 12.2 million of these loans on the market last year. So they're out there. 23% of the loans, I think, were assumable. Mm-hmm. So they're out there. So, you know, yes, you have to pay that $100,000. Now, how are you going to do it? Well, a lot of times people are putting 20% down on their homes already. Mm-hmm. So let's take this $400,000 example again, not to get too deep in
math. You have 80 grand.
That means you put 80 grand down. So you only have a $20,000 gap. Mm-hmm. So to fill that $20,000 gap, you go get a second mortgage. Now, it could be that you had to fill the whole gap. As long as the lender who gave the original seller the loan that you're going to assume mm-hmm. will accept a second mortgage on the house, and they usually don't care because they're in the first loan position should you default, right? The second mortgage can be put on the house even for a much larger amount. So you can still get into one of these with a fairly low down payment and keep your payment low by assuming someone else's mortgage if it's an assumable loan.
Can you get the first and second mortgage at the same time that you're applying for the loan from the bank? Okay, so then yes. You would have that money instantly to be able to give to them.
Yes. Now, that's where it gets tricky for real estate people is, you know, organizing that. First of all, you've got to coordinate with the lender. And it's the seller's lender you have to go through because it's the seller's lender mm-hmm. that's holding that mortgage. So they have to approve you. So you have to qualify, but it's not impossible to do. I mean, I don't mean to paint this as a difficult picture. If you qualify for another mortgage, you'd probably qualify for this assumable rate mortgage. So they're going to qualify you, but they're going to ask you at the same time, just as if you went for a traditional loan. Well, Jess, how are you going to cover this other 100 grand? Mm-hmm. And you're going to say, well, I'm going to put 10% down, $40,000 on a $400,000 house, and I still need another $60,000 to make this loan work. And so they'll say, yeah, okay, I think we can do the first mortgage as the assumable for $300,000. You're going to put down $40,000 as your down payment, and we're going to give you a second mortgage, or somebody else is going to give you a second mortgage for $60,000. Yes, for $60,000. And then that gets coordinated and happens at a closing table, just like any other traditional loan that might be done in what we've called an 80-20 split in the past. You probably remember me telling you that you might be able to get around private mortgage insurance by using an 80-20 split. In other words, an 80% first loan and a 20% second loan. Ridiculous as it seems, they don't count that as 100% loan to value. And so the first lender doesn't require your private mortgage insurance. Now, I've digressed a little bit here into another topic, but it brings me back to a point that with these assumable rate mortgages, you may have to pay private insurance. Now, on the FHA mortgage, you'll pay it every year. It's like 0.8%, I believe. And you'll pay it every year as long as you have that assumable FHA mortgage. Mm-hmm. But on a VA loan, you pay 0.5% one time and no more fees. But there are caveats to these things. So, you know, I love it when you ask questions because I know that you're, and no insult intended here, but you're a regular person. You're not mm-hmm. a financial person.
Yeah.
And you think like a regular person. And that's what we want to do is to help people in the general population understand what we're talking about, assumable mortgage. I mean, you're right. The first thing that came to mind is somebody getting foreclosed on? I can take over their mortgage. This isn't like, you know, taking over the payments on a car that's about to be repoed. Mm-hmm. It's not that at all.
Okay.
It's that somebody got a mortgage at a really great rate. And if it is an FHA, VA, or USDA mortgage, it may have, probably has, this built-in assumable clause, which can turn out to be a great benefit. And we're talking not just to buyers here. Sellers have these mortgages and don't know it, don't remember that they can get money out of their home, sometimes more than they would have gotten on the regular market, because the interest rate is lower on that mortgage. And so somebody can afford it more easily.
No, it would seem to me that the banks would hate this because then people are going to get a lower rate and they're not going to make as much money charging this 7.whatever%, right?
I just love the way you ask questions. So I don't know if the banks hate it. They don't have much of a choice. If you have an assumable mortgage, it's assumable. Mm-hmm. Somebody does have to qualify, but you inherently touch on the sticky point and you've done it again. If you have to go, I love that you do this. If you have to go to an assumable rate mortgage lender who wrote that mortgage in the beginning.
Right.
Right. They're the one who gave, in our scenario, my lender, ABC Bank, gave me a loan 15 years ago at 2.49%. Mm-hmm. And I want to sell my house to you. and I want you to assume my 2.49% mortgage. Now, here's where it gets tricky.
Okay.
My loan servicer is going to make less money.
That's why I figured they're not advertising this.
Yeah, not just because of the interest rate. They're going to make less money having you assume my mortgage than they would if they sold you a new mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's not that they intentionally drag their feet, but these mortgages are usually slower to close. So where a traditional mortgage might take 30 to 45 days to close, mm-hmm. an assumable mortgage might take 45 to 90 days to close.
Okay.
Still can be done, but that means that some sellers don't want to use that assumable rate mortgage as part of their sale.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really here today to talk about, you know, not just to buyers, but to sellers about the perks in using this. This is a win-win situation. It's good for both sides. If you can just tolerate maybe an extra 15 or 30 days to close your loan, you may well get more money out of your house or get a better buyer or just get the thing sold when it might not be selling because of a high mortgage rate in this market.
Okay, I've got more questions and we're going to hear more about this coming up in the second half. Let's get your phone number.
Sure, it's 413-773-3333.
And you can visit hugyourmoney.com. We'll be back with much more with the money doctor, Dr. Francis Ram, right here on WHMP.
Every day, financial ads claiming to be different from the competition. Are they? I'm Francis Ram, the money doctor, and I'm about to make a bold statement. I believe the thing to focus on isn't their uniqueness, it's yours. No one has the same financial situation or needs as you, and no one can help us help you better than you. But the truth is, when it comes to managing money, most of us are not as successful as we'd like to be. No matter how focused we are, it's almost impossible to separate emotion, and being in a relationship can further compound the issue. That's why I developed Hug Your Money. Financial coaching coupled with online software and tools to empower you to manage money wisely. We guide you every step of the way to resolve immediate issues and plan for your financial future with modeling scenarios. So whether it's debt, budget, retirement planning, or a financial crisis, having a Hug coach in your corner is like having a new best financial friend. Hug Your Money is as unique as you are. In fact, it's patented. Visit hugyourmoney.com.
Welcome back to Financial Fitness. I'm Jess Tyler, along with the money doctor, Dr. Francis Ram. We're talking about assumable mortgages.
We are. You know, I actually was thinking of having a guest today, and at the last minute, they couldn't do it. And so this teaches you to never assume anything and be ready for something else. And oddly enough, assumable mortgages are kind of an untalked about topic, I think, or less known topic.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're really important right now. And I think if rates continue to stay high, we will see these become more popular as they were in the 80s, as we were talking about when rates were really high as 18% to get into a mortgage. So, you know, we've had lots of questions about, should I buy a home now? Should I wait? You know, what about the market? Are mortgage rates going to go down? And we never have a crystal ball. We can say, well, I don't think they're going to continue to go up for long because they can't forever. People won't be able to buy homes. But yet the housing market is still, hanging in there.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's going to take some time for this to shake out. If you've tried to get any work done on your home, if you've tried to hire a contractor, you'll report that you can't even get three quotes these days because everybody is so backlogged and people are just happy that somebody showed up.
Just talking about the news recently, Jones Library in Amherst, they got one construction bid and it was, you know, astronomical, but like one bid, you would think you'd get 10 or 12 for a big project like that. So you're completely right. You don't forget about trying to find somebody.
Yeah. And the scary part is that homeowners are just saying, and business people too, they're just saying, okay, do the work. When can you do it? And people are waiting 3, 4, 5, 6 months to get the work done. And they're paying whatever they can, whatever the people are asking because they can't get the work done.
Yeah.
I remember my favorite slogan on a truck that I ever saw on any sort of trade truck. I was in Florida where it really counted, I think. And I saw this plumbing company, local plumbing company. And on the side of their truck, I kid you not, it said whatever the name of the plumbing service was, I don't remember. And their tagline was, "We show up."
They probably get a lot of business that way because people relate to that.
They probably did. It was years ago and it always stuck in my head. such and such a plumbing, we show up.
I was worried it was going to be something like we don't crack, and I was going to tell you we're on the air. We're on the air.
Oh,
poor plumbers. Poor plumbers. Pull your pants up. Okay. Sorry. I digress.
Oh my gosh, the things we get into. Okay, so let's see. We're talking about buyers and sellers trying to utilize the built-in benefit of assumable rate mortgages. Mm-hmm. And if you came into the show a little bit late, what that means is if you have a government-backed mortgage on a home that you're looking to buy or sell, and it's an FHA mortgage for Federal Housing Authority, it's a USDA, just like the guys who stamp your meat, right?
Mm-hmm.
Department of Agriculture, U.S. Department of Agriculture, or a VA loan, mm-hmm. Veteran of Foreign Affairs loan. If it's any of those three loans, it may, in fact, probably has this assumable clause built into the mortgage. And even sellers and their real estate agents often aren't aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're looking at a home, maybe one of your first questions should be, does this have an assumable rate mortgage? Because it's almost assuredly lower than the rates we have today.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, you had said in the first half that there was, you know, a lot of lists that have all of these that are available. But I was going to say, if you happen to be, you know, just house hunting and looking at Zillow or wherever, you see a house that you think you might not be able to afford the mortgage, can you ask the seller, do you have this assumable mortgage? And then I'm assuming you'd have to get the seller to agree to it. But is there any downside for the seller to agree to this?
Not really, except that people are afraid of what they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And so somebody will tell them, oh, your lender has to approve it and it's going to take longer to close. And it's not as smooth as a cash deal, but what is?
Right. Right. So maybe somebody who's got a house that's been sitting on the market for a while would consider this.
Maybe, especially if they owe quite a bit on it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this could be when we talk about a win-win situation. You know, if you have an assumable rate mortgage and you owe $40,000 on your house, the person buying it isn't getting much bang for their buck by assuming that small mortgage if your house is a $300,000 house,
mm-hmm.
right? Because they're going to have to go get a traditional loan or cash for the rest of it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
If you're in a situation where you have an assumable rate mortgage on your home, one of those FHA, VA, or USDA loans, then, and you owe quite a bit, let's say in that scenario we used where we had a $400,000 price on the home and a $300,000 loan.
Mm-hmm.
That still had that balance of 300,000, then yeah, you might want to be thinking about this, because the fact that someone can take over your $300,000 assumable rate mortgage and pay, you know, maybe $500 less a month or even more, depending on what the purchase price and the rate of the house is,
mm-hmm.
even if they have to make up a little gap with some cash down or a second mortgage, it's probably still going to be a far lower payment for the person buying it.
Right.
Then mm-hmm. somebody taking a traditional loan. And what does that mean? That means you get your asking price
mm-hmm.
or maybe close to it or maybe even more than your asking price because they can afford the payment. This is the kind of thing I complain about on a daily basis about how people get, how Americans have, and maybe worldwide, have become inured to the fact that as long as you can make the payment, it doesn't matter how much debt you're carrying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? So I'm not advising against this. I'm saying this is a good way for you to buy a home if you can make it work because that mortgage is assumable and it makes your payment affordable. I'd rather see you do that than, you know, max yourself out completely because the housing prices are high and the mortgage rates are high and you have to go and buy that house at that rate and it's really a stretch for you. I'd rather see you assume a lower rate mortgage as part of the deal.
Mm-hmm.
And there are lots of startups. This will tell you how this is starting to become popular again because they're out there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there are startup companies doing this. One of them is called Roam, R-O-A-M. But there are several popping up, you know. And this is like Zillow, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you go to Zillow, if you've never gone to Zillow and you're listening to this show, type in Z-I-L-L-O-W and start looking for houses. You'll find, you know, a litany. You'll find your own house if you own one. And it will just say it's off the market if it's not for sale. So, oh, that's a whole different thing about how you should update your own house on Zillow if the stats are wrong. Let's say it says you have 3 bedrooms and you have 4,
mm-hmm.
Claim the house and update it on Zillow. It will help you.
Okay.
That's an aside tip. Just pops into my head and has to get out there when I'm thinking of it. All right. So Roam is a lot like Zillow, but it lists houses with assumable rate mortgages.
Mm-hmm.
And just to give you some idea, I think last year, 6,000 of these loans went through last year. which was up 139% from 2022. Mm-hmm. And this year already, as of May, when we're doing this show, this year already, almost 4,000 of these mortgages have gone through.
So that's all across the country, though, right?
Yeah.
So this is still not really well known. Otherwise, those numbers would be much higher.
Yes. But if you think about something increasing by 139% in a year, now it's, I mean, we're 2/3 of the way there already, and we're not even halfway through the year yet. Mm-hmm. These are going to happen. This is going to become more and more appealing. So companies like Roam, they don't do this for free or out of the goodness of their heart, right? They're making money on this.
Of course, yeah.
But it's, you know, it's relatively low, I think. I think Roam charges 1% of the purchase price of the house. Mm-hmm. So on a $400,000 house, you're going to pay them $4,000. But they help coordinate the thing you were worried about in the beginning. They help coordinate the deal with this assumable rate mortgage. And so they talk to the lender and make it work.
If you're someone listening to the show and you have a house that you're trying to sell, and you just take a look after we talk about this and see you have an assumable mortgage, is there somewhere you can go to get your house added to these lists that you're talking about?
Well, that's a very good question. I would assume that you can contact Roam through their website. And there was another company too.
Because that might help a seller if you include yourself in that list, if you're finding. And also, I know that there's probably a lot of people that just can't stomach how high the interest rate it is right now. So this might appeal to them because it's like you're still getting the house, but at the interest rate you want to pay.
Yes, exactly. I was trying to think of who that other company was.
ClickUp, Evernote, Notion.
So, you know, I don't remember the other company's names, but I had a couple in mind, but there are so many popping up that you just do a search on Google for assumable rate mortgage help or assumable rate mortgage company lists, and you'll find these lists. And they are similar to the REO list that we used to see in the 80s when the government was taking over mortgages and putting houses up for auction, and they would list all the properties that were available there. They're similar to those kinds of lists, but instead of it being foreclosure situations or distressed sellers, it's just somebody who happened to have qualified for one of these loans. Mm-hmm. Now, remember I told you there were certain caveats and you have to qualify for these loans?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, one of them is, I told you about the fees with the 0.8% yearly for FHA and 0.5% one time for VA.
Okay.
But if you are a person who got a veteran's loan, a VA loan on your mortgage, I mean, you got a VA mortgage on your home, and you are looking to have somebody else assume that.
Right.
This is a little known caveat here, but if you're looking to have somebody else assume that, you can sell it to somebody who is not a veteran. Or who's somebody to somebody who is a veteran. But if you sell it to someone who is not a veteran, you may not be able to get another VA loan for yourself until that loan is paid off.
Oh, that's a good thing to know.
Yeah. So, you know, people are getting very creative with these kinds of things. That might be worth doing if you have an agreement with somebody that they're going to assume your mortgage and pay it off in full in 3 years. And if they don't, you know what I say about real estate deals, you can put anything in a real estate deal that you and the other party can agree to. Mm-hmm. So you could say something like, look, I'm not going to be able to get another VA loan, but I'm all right with that. I'm going to move into an apartment for a few years or whatever, but you must pay this mortgage off. You must refinance this mortgage and have it paid in full one way or another in, let's say, 3 years, or else this happens, right? Or else you have to pay me a bunch of money or, you know, whatever. You can make anything you want in a deal. Mm-hmm. Some people have gotten very creative by saying, look, I know I'm the buyer and I want to buy your home with the assumable rate mortgage. And you've got people who want to buy it with traditional rate mortgage, but my offer is good. You know, maybe I'm offering a little bit more money or maybe I'm offering better cash down or whatever. Mm-hmm. But you're leery of selling it to me because you think this assumable rate mortgage lender will drag us heels and it'll take, you know, 90 days to close this loan. And you don't want to wait that long, right?
Yeah.
So then you might say to the seller something like this. You can choose anything you want, but here's just an idea. You might say to the seller, okay, but I feel really confident that this loan is going to go through. I've talked to the lender. I know I qualify. The house looks good. We've had, you know, I don't think there's a problem here, but I'll tell you what, if it doesn't close in say 60 days, then I will pay your mortgage until it closes, or I will give you X number of dollars more for the sale, or
you gotta offer a little
somehow I will sweeten the pot for you so that the seller says, well, okay, I guess my risk is pretty limited now. You know, and I can also call my lender and stay on top of them and say, hey, are you getting this loan through? Because I'm trying to sell my house here. But I think the sticky part there is that the lenders really do make less money on this than if they sold you a new mortgage. But I wouldn't let that deter me from looking for one of these mortgages. This is a lot of money that you can save yourself if you're really looking at an assumable rate mortgage.
Okay, I was Googling while we were talking as well, and it says that the competitors of Rome are New American Funding, FHA Pro, and Assume List are the other two.
None of those are the ones I was thinking of.
Uh-oh.
So that tells you how many are out there.
Yeah.
There are many more. Yeah, and I think you're right. If you just Google this, you'll come up with them. I think there was something... the founders of DoorDash or somebody.
Yes, I just was reading that.
Tony Zhu. Yeah. So, I mean, everybody's into it right now. And I do think, you know, this is the train is leaving the station here where it's going to become
ClickUp.
I'm going to
get it. ClickUp, Evernote, Notion, none of those, huh?
No. I don't remember. I'm sorry.
It'll be 2 in the morning and you'll be like, this was it.
Yeah. In fact, it was Rome that Rome got like a $3 million investment from the people,
DoorDash.
Tony Zhu and that.
Yeah.
Yeah. DoorDash. Right. DoorDash, exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm sorry. It just escaped my memory, but whoever it was, you'll hear about them again, I'm sure. So I think, especially in our area, I think this is really important because, you know, I'm all for local lending and I'm all for people getting into their homes and all of that, but I just don't want people to overpay. And when you're talking about a 30-year mortgage mm-hmm. or even a 15-year mortgage, but you're talking about, you know, a 7% rate versus probably, you know, between 2.5% and 4.5% on these assumable rate mortgages, depending on when they were taken out.
Yeah, it's hundreds of dollars of difference in your payment.
It is. And thousands of dollars of difference in your interest over the course of time.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope, you know, I hope that people hear this both on the buyer and seller side and understand this is something that they could look into and ask your real estate agent about it. And for realtors out there, if you're not familiar with these, maybe you've gotten into the game long after they were popular, please familiarize yourself with assumable rate mortgages because, boy, it could be a sales tool for you as well.
All right. Well, let's get your phone number if anybody has any questions on this or anything else financial.
Absolutely. They can reach us at 413-773-3333.
And you can visit hugyourmoney.com for more. And we will talk again next week.
Great. Thanks, Jess.
All right. This has been Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, Dr. Francis Ram on WHMP.
Have you heard about Get the Tea? It's an online herbal supplement company with high quality standards. You cannot find these in stores. They carry cleansing teas and targeted herbal supplements for all your health needs. Go to getthetea.com today to order yours. Health shouldn't be put off. It should be a priority. And check out their specials page for sale items. That's getthetea.com. Enter code TEA123 for 10% off exclusively for my listeners. Getthetea.com, code TEA123. Order today.
This is Frances Rayum, the Money Doctor. Now you can become 100% debt-free, budget successfully, and retire well, all under the Hug Your Money umbrella.
Well, I tried another outfit out of Florida. Their help was to take my money and you're on your own with problems that we create for you. This, it's different. It makes me more confident. The ads that I have heard on the radio were true. She's honestly truly concerned that people's lives improve by getting a handle on their finances. I actually have more peace about where my finances are going from here. Yeah, it's like light at the end of the tunnel that's not a train coming your way.
Hug works best when we work together. Schedule your free consultation with a Hug Your Money coach today. Visit hugyourmoney.com. Hug Your Money. So unique, it's patented.
Financial literacy and the human condition. Welcome to Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, Dr. Francis Ram.
Welcome to Financial Fitness. I'm Jess Tyler, along with the Money Doctor, Dr. Francis Ram. Good morning.
Good morning, Jess. How are you?
I am excellent, and I'm excited about today's show because you have brought along a guest.
I'm really happy to have him back. So Ben has been here with us before, but yes, we have Ben Braverman from SMS Financial Services. So welcome, Ben.
Hey, good morning, Francis. Good morning, Jess. Nice to see you guys again.
So I would say that Ben and I work together a bit. He is a guy that is not in sales. So just so people know, if we're talking about this topic today, he's not selling you anything. He's not giving you advice. He's an expert in this area. And because of that, I often call him and have a working relationship with him about what is new in the area, what's new in the industry, what might be the best product for somebody. Maybe I have a really complicated case and I want a second opinion on it. I might call Ben, and he might involve other team members, including, you know, JDs, attorneys, accountants, whatever. And together we work as a team to try and find the best solution for people. But Ben is not in sales. Even though I'm writing the contract, he's able to help me with a lot of information because it's a quick changing industry. So we're going to be talking about annuities today, maybe a little general chit chat about them, but in specific, a special kind of an annuity called a fixed indexed annuity. And so I'm going to leave Ben a lot of time to talk here, and I'll interject when I think that there's something I can add. So Ben, would you tell your side of the story about what it is from your desk when I call you and what kinds of things you do that help us?
100%. So I work with financial advisors all around the country, and I advise advisors on things from marketing to business development. And a lot of it comes down to product, like fixed index annuities with or without certain riders. And as I understand it, we're going to dig into guaranteed income a little bit today as well. The reason being is Frances is the CEO, the CFO, the CMO of her office. She wears a lot of hats. There's also a lot of different annuities out there. So for that reason, we work together to make sure that her clients are in the best strategies, the most appropriate strategies that are going to give them the most amount of upside relative to their goals, be that capital preservation or guaranteed income, which is typically where a lot of people near entering retirement find themselves.
Yeah, I would say that since I'm an independent broker, and I don't work for one specific company, what I'm looking to do is get the best I can from any company for my clients. And because of that, Ben is right. I am the president of Hug Your Money, of course, and one person can only do so much. And so I rely on experts in the industry rather than saying, I know everything, I'm omnipotent, and I don't need any help. So Ben and I have been working together for, I don't know, 3 or 4 years, I think. Yeah, Ben is my first go-to person. So we are going to talk about guaranteed income, but also things that make specific indexed annuities, even though we won't mention company names. But there are specific products out there that really have unusual features that are very helpful to people. So buying an annuity is a lot like buying a car, I like to say. You know, if you ask your friends, hey, what kind of car should I get? They will all have an opinion. They will all think their car is probably the best or the worst. And none of them will be in your position, but they're quick to spend your money or tell you not to. So annuities, if you typed in annuities or even fixed indexed annuities into the web, you would get so much information. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's the right product for you or the wrong product for you. Has to do with your specific situation. So let's start off about talking about why somebody in an environment where CDs are at 4.5%, 5%, and people are saying, so I'll just get a CD. Why would somebody want to buy an annuity that offers fixed income, you know, guaranteed income for the rest of your life? So I'll let Ben talk about the environment a little bit, if he would.
100%. There's a couple of different things going on here. So yes, right now you can go down to your bank and probably get a 5-year CD in the neighborhood of 4-5%. That's a reflection of the really high interest rate environment that we're in. Why are we in a high interest rate environment? There's any number of economic reasons, but the result of that high interest rate environment is that, yes, you're finally seeing some decent yield at the bank, and that's great, but it's only potentially for the next 5 years. Also, if you put non-qualified or post-tax dollars into that CD, you're going to get taxed on it every single year. Furthermore, indexed annuity companies, which are insurance companies, have access to an enormous inventory of AAA-rated corporate bonds. And when you buy an indexed annuity, they take about 87.5% on average of whatever money goes into that annuity, and they buy AAA-rated corporate bonds. So if you're seeing 5% at the bank, in all likelihood, either through income, which can be reflected as effective yield, or participation rates inside of indexed annuities, you could actually potentially make an excess of 5% and still beat the bank. So for that reason, like a lot of things, what's in the window of the local credit union or advertised by the bank might look attractive, and it certainly is. But if you go out to an independent broker like Francis, there's a good possibility that she can find you something either more long-term or short-term that could also offer a higher rate of return, because it's leveraging the same interest rates as the bank, but it's going a little bit farther with some more advanced options pricing, as well as some different strategies like guaranteed income.
Mm-hmm.
So would you rather 5% for the next 5 years or 5% plus for the next 10, 15, or even 20, and what that 5% actually looks like can take some different forms, but effectively, if it's moving the needle in your retirement, that is the goal for these different strategies.
Something specific comes to mind when we're talking about this. I love it when Ben talks about the market and all the things that people love to hear, but then I have to sort of reduce it to, okay, what does that mean to the average person? And so here's an example. There's a product that I like to use that offers something called an income rider.
Mm-hmm.
So the fixed index annuity could work just like any other investment vehicle where you put X number of dollars in, and if the market does well, it makes money, right? Now, in fairness, if the market does poorly, that account may have protections, principal protection, so it doesn't lose money. That's nice. But what I like to use that product for is the income rider. Now, you have to buy the income rider, but it costs you about as much or a little less than what most money managers charge you to manage their mutual fund or whatever. It still gives you that principal protection I'm talking about. So you're not going backwards. When the market takes a tank, you might have a zero year, but you're not going backwards. But what it really does that I love is if you buy that income rider on that specific product, it gives you a bonus upfront for income purposes and a guaranteed rate of return, a guaranteed roll-up, an interest rate, essentially, for the 10-year timeline or when you turn that income on, whichever comes sooner. And when you turn that income on, that can guarantee your income for the rest of your life. And when you die, whatever's left over can still go to a beneficiary. Now, when we're talking about bonuses right now, I mean, sometimes they're 10%, sometimes they're 20%. That product right now at the time of this filming is offering 30% bonus, which is enormous. So if you put 100 grand in there, $100,000 becomes 130,000 overnight for purposes of income. You're not walking away with that in cash, but when you turn the income on, it's based on that 130,000 plus, in this case, an 8% per year guaranteed roll up for 10 years or until you turn income on. So there's a handy dandy little calculator that I can show you. It's open to the public. I can't give the name of it right now, but I can show it to you and you can pop any number you want in there and see every year what that income column will have grown to. And that is the number that they're basing your lifetime income on. So in most people's cases, they aren't going to take out their $500,000, $4 million, whatever it is, in a lump sum at retirement time, because they're going to get hammered on the taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Most people are taking it out as a stream of income. And I know Ben and I like to talk about this, like it's like privatizing your pension. So I've said what I wanted to say about that, but I'm going to ask Ben what his take is on why that might be so appealing right now, not just with a bonus, but with an 8% rate when CDs are maybe at 4 or 5.
So that gets even better there, Francis. And that maybe that can bring full circle what I was talking about before. So you mentioned somebody puts $100,000 into product A. Product A has a 30% bonus and an 8% compounded roll-up. To the consumers out there, what does that really mean? Well, that means that if you're 60 years old and you put $100,000 into that strategy, if you want to take income after 1 year, you're going to get something in the neighborhood of $6,700 a year guaranteed. So what is that? That is 6.7%. of your purchase payment guaranteed for the rest of your life after 1 year. Now, why do most people purchase CDs? Most people purchase CDs to pull the interest. They either are using it as a safe money solution for accumulation, but the way a lot of retirees use CDs and the way a lot of financial advisors who may not leverage annuities talk about CDs or fixed income is we're gonna pull the interest. So you're gonna take 5% from your CD, interest only, and that's going to be your income. So again, do you want 5% for maybe the next 5 years, because interest rates might go down. And then what's going to happen to those CDs? The rates are going to go down. So you're only going to get 5% for the next 5 years. With just one of these strategies that Francis is alluding to, you could effectively get 6.7%, $6,700 out of a $100,000 initial premium inlay, 6.7% for the rest of your life guaranteed. And because of the innovation in the index annuity market, there's a lot of strategies now. Well, there's some strategies that also will give you the potential to retain your premium, or what's known as your cash value, but that's not necessarily guaranteed. However, ultimately, if you're purchasing a CD to draw the interest, why would you not take 6.7, and that's just waiting 1 year, for the rest of your life? So if you're 60 years old, you're going into a CD, you're getting 5% for the next 5 years. Great. Then after 5 years, interest rates are back to what, 2-3%. What are you going to do now? On the other hand, right now, income is on sale through people like Francis. So you could get 6.7% for the rest of your life. You could even get, think about this, if you defer a few more years, that same annuity, and I'm going to go ahead and say annuity because I don't think it's a bad word. I think these are fantastic, productive strategies. You could take as much as 10% of purchase payment, which is a great way to talk about guaranteed income because it's a little bit easier to understand. That means in 10 years, you're going to get all your money back. Find me a CD where you could draw 10% interest for your entire life.
Is there a price point, though, that you would recommend getting into an annuity at? Like you're mentioning $100,000. Say you had $10,000. Is a CD better at that point, or still annuity would be better?
Not that one is better than the other. It's that one might be a better choice for you than another. And I would not say that there's a price point where it makes more sense than another. But I might change my advice to somebody based on that. For instance, if they only have $10,000, the income on that is going to be very small. It may not be worth them paying for an income rider. Mm-hmm. And many of these products have, you know, a $10,000 or $20,000 or $25,000 minimum. But it's very unlikely that somebody with $10,000 is saying, here's my retirement nest egg. What am I going to do that's best with it? At that level, they're still trying to figure out, how am I going to save for it? Mm-hmm. And I do have some advice about that, a suggestion about that. Another kind of product that might be a good fit for them that we can talk about in the second half too. But in this case, I just want to remind people that when Ben is giving those numbers, it's probably straight off that calculator I'm talking about. And he's talking about a 60-year-old person the next year. When most of my clients are saying, oh no, I want to retire at 65, or I'm happy working still part-time, or I want to do it later. Now, the older you get, the higher that income is going to be for two reasons. One is that you've deferred it longer and you're grabbing 8% a year on it right now, compounded, plus mm-hmm. that bonus we talked about. And the second is that the government tables say, you know, you'll live a shorter period of time. So they have to pay out your money over that lifetime, mm-hmm. which means your payments get larger. It's very easy to illustrate this for anybody that's considering this idea and is just afraid of the word annuity or fixed indexed annuity. Sounds even more complicated. It's like 30 seconds. I can show you whether this is what money is going to come out of your retirement nest egg doing this part of your retirement nest egg. And before we go to break, I want to make that point. This is not for all of your money. Nothing should be for all of your money. It's a tool. It's a strategy to use. It's a great one. It works very well for retirees, especially anybody interested in safe money and unsure about what's going to happen with the market, because I'll tell you what, you might want to wait and say, well, when my CDs are done, then I'll look at this. But let me tell you something. When the CD rates drop, the annuity rates will drop too. So if you want to do this, you should think about it as early on as possible in this environment, when exactly what Ben said, probably the one takeaway from this is income is on sale right now. And that's the way to look at it.
Okay, perfect. We'll get into more of this with the second half. It's a really great conversation. Ben Braverman and Francis Ram, the Money Doctor, part two of Financial Fitness, coming up next on WHMP.
When it comes to investing, we're taught the higher the risk, the better the reward. Francis Ram, the Money Doctor, says it isn't necessarily true. We need to remember that with risk comes the potential for losses, and making up losses can set us back, or worse, delay our retirement. You've heard the testimonials for years about how her patented program helps people become 100% debt-free far ahead of schedule. But did you know that for more than 35 years, Dr. Ram has been helping people retire well without unnecessary risk? Dr. Ram says most people mistakenly accept that in order to earn attractive interest rates, they must tolerate risk, and that choosing safety means settling for lackluster returns. But it doesn't have to be that way. You can earn competitive rates and minimize taxes without risking a single dollar of your hard-earned savings. Contact the Money Doctor at Hug Your Money for a free consultation. Call 413-773-3333 or visit hugyourmoney.com.
Welcome back to Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, Dr. Francis Ram, along with a special guest.
We have Ben Braverman from SMS Financial Services. Welcome back, Ben.
Hey, Jess. Hey, Francis. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. One of the reasons you like to talk about payout a certain way is to make it easier for people to understand. Can you explain again how you think
100%.
About that?
So we talked about this a little bit in the previous episode, because right now, CDs are finally really attractive. Banks finally had to give in, right? For the longest time, you were getting 25, 50, 75 basis points, which is just something that people in my industry do obnoxiously. All that means is 0.5%, everybody, in a CD at the bank. Now you can get something in the neighborhood of 5% for 5 years, which is great. But what we were talking about is there's strategies via index annuities where you can get guaranteed income for life. And if you're the purpose of buying the CD is to pull the interest for income, which is what a lot of consumers are doing, then consider this. Oftentimes, with strategies that Francis has access to, you can get 5 or 10% of your initial purchase payment back in the form of guaranteed income. For easy math, let's say that you give $100,000 at age 60 to XYZ carrier. That XYZ carrier 5 years later gives you a $10,000 a year paycheck, regardless of whether the market is up, down, or sideways. And if you buy it now, if you put that money into it now, regardless of where interest rates are for 5 years. So 10,000 of 100,000 is what? 10%. So if you think that, as a lot of consumers do, if the goal is to pull the interest from the CD to supplement Social Security or a supplemental retirement income, then through an indexed annuity, you can actually get effectively a 10% yield or a 10% return in the form of guaranteed income, 10% of your initial purchase payment for the rest of your life, when we think about 10,000 as part of 100,000. And that's really, really attractive. And guess what? 5, 10, 15, 20 years out, regardless of where interest rates are at, and regardless of where the market is at, you'll still get that $10,000 a year paycheck or what have you. Furthermore, the reason that the insurance company can afford to do this is because they have access to AAA rated corporate bonds that banks have some access to, but to not the same degree. And for that reason, they have even higher yields that they are able to pass on to the consumers, just like the banks, but in the form of more long-term strategies. So 5% for 5 years or 10% for the rest of your life.
Yes, I think Ben has reiterated that point perfectly. But one of the questions I get is, well, how is that possible? How can they pay a big bonus like that and then this guaranteed income? Something must be wrong. How are they making money? So I would like to say Ben's just pointed that out. First of all, they know how to make money probably better than the average person. That's what actuaries are for. They have access to wholesale pricing, which we don't have access to. And of course, there is a surrender charge on these kinds of annuities, much like you to have a penalty if you pulled your CD money out early. So that's pretty parallel, right? They're going to feel a lot like a CD because they're safe money. They have surrender charges if you pull too much out early, but they have great liquidity. Even if you're not turning the income on, that specific product I was talking about, you can get 7% after you've been in it for a year, 7% of your balance without a penalty from the company. That doesn't mean you're not going to pay taxes on it, but it does mean you may not even turn the income on yet. You might take that 30% bonus, 8% roll up, and 2 years from now say, I want a little bit of money, and take your 7% out and leave the rest of it there for the future time when you're going to finally turn the income on. So there's several ways to get your liquidity out of these things. It's not just stick your money in there, make a choice for income today, and you're stuck with it. Mm-hmm. In fact, this particular product, you can actually turn the income on and off, something that's probably too complicated to get into right now, but that's a very unusual feature. Let's say that you're thinking of retiring. Mm-hmm. You decide to turn the income on, and 2 years from now, you say, no, I want to go back to work. I miss it. Well, now you've got so much income, you don't need the income from the annuity. Why take it and pay the tax on it if you can defer it further? So you turn the income off again, right? And then a couple of years later, you could turn it back on. So there's a lot of flexibility to these. When I think most people have the idea that if you have an income generating annuity for life, it is the old fashioned kind. It's just a fixed annuity, an immediate annuity where you buy it, you put a lump sum of money in, you get the income for the rest of your life, and you have given up that asset in order to do that. That's the kind of thing we used to use for nursing home avoidance and things like that. Mm-hmm. We hardly ever use those kinds of annuities in my practice any longer. So the next thing I think people would say is, well, what happens to my money when I'm gone? You know, in my CD, I put a beneficiary on it. So I draw the interest, but whatever's left goes to my beneficiary. Mm-hmm. I'll ask Ben to talk about that just to give him equal time about how in this specific product. And I do want to save a couple minutes to talk about the solution for Jess's client that she mentioned.
So yes, to your point, we're in the golden age of annuities. We're in the golden age of innovation with respect to annuities. So it used to be that an income annuity known as a SPIA, which isn't a bad strategy. It has a place just like a CD has a place, just like exposure to the market has a place. I am not an all or nothing consultant. While I consult specifically on annuities, there's a place at the table for a lot of different strategies to have a fully diversified retirement portfolio. That being said, these old income annuities, you essentially were giving your money to the insurance company in exchange for a guaranteed income stream, not unlike a pension, but a pension insofar as when you died, other than maybe your spouse being able to take over that income or pension, there was no real asset left. And that's what makes the strategies that, for good reason, Francis is especially bullish on so compelling and competitive. I call it G plus A, guarantee plus accumulation, which is the ability to have an unequivocal guarantee of income, as we discussed earlier, be that 5% of purchase payment, 10% of purchase payment, 12% of purchase payment, but also have some underlying indices that should generate a rate of return. So after 10, 20, 25 years, even after you've been taking that income stream, you still have real cash value. And what is that cash value? Well, number one, Francis, it's cash. It's money that you have access to. So with less than 25% of retirees having some type of long-term care plan, it's money that in case of an emergency, to Francis' point, you could turn off the income and use it to supplement some other unanticipated expense in retirement. But what else is it? It's legacy. It's real cash value that your designated beneficiaries, be that your children, your church, your charity, whomever you want it to be, will get whatever's left in that cash value account, that A account, that account value, even while you're still getting that guarantee, that'll go to your beneficiaries. So it's a fantastic combination because it satisfies two major concerns in retirement, which is outliving your assets and also an inability to leave a legacy. So this marries the two together. And on the one side, you're guaranteeing that you're not going to outlive the asset. And on the other side, as long as we get a decent rate of return in the indices, you have a good possibility of still leaving a legacy.
Will the beneficiary in that part, would they get a lump sum of what was left or would they get the guarantee?
They would get a lump sum. There is something called a joint income benefit, Jess, where I could say, you know what, I want to make sure that I'm going to buy this strategy with my retirement dollars, and I'm going to make my wife a joint income recipient of the income. Mm-hmm. So if either of us passes away, the income stream continues. So if it's $10,000 and I die, she continues to get a paycheck for $10,000 or vice versa. Then when we both pass away, unfortunately, whomever our beneficiaries are, which in this case, whomever that may be, they'll get the remainder of the cash value. But you can only just to clarify, there's no strategy out there that will continue an income stream to your children, but there is ones between spouses.
Okay.
That's just how it works right now.
Yeah, that was a really good question, Jess. I know that we're getting short on time, and I promised to address the question you had about what if somebody had $10,000? Would this be the best kind of a product for them with this income rider? And I would say, you know, in certain circumstances, maybe, but probably not. With a smaller amount of money like that, we might opt for a different kind of an indexed annuity or a different kind of product altogether. It might be something else completely different. Mm-hmm. But I like to use two products in combination with one another very often for people because they offer different things. So for somebody with, say, $10,000, maybe they have $10,000 over here and other money over here, I might use these two in combination. And the second product I'm alluding to is also a fixed indexed annuity, but rather than buy the income rider on it, I might use it because it has an upfront cash bonus. The first one we talked about had a bonus, but it's used for income purposes. This one would be used for cash. So you put your $10,000 in, and if it has a 15% bonus, immediately it's worth $11,500. Mm-hmm. And then you have the earnings based on the market. But it also has, that particular product also has liquidity in the first year, which is very unusual. So remember when we started talking about this, I said, you know, this is not a one size fits all. I didn't say it, but I paraphrased it. It's not a one size fits all product.
Right.
We use different kinds of products for different solutions. We very rarely come on the air and talk about specific things. These were too good to ignore. And I wanted Ben to come on and share this with everybody. But you could get, for instance, in that annuity, if it's liquidity you're worried about, like I'm putting this in a money market account because I need it to be somewhat liquid, I might need another $1,000 this year. Okay, you could get 5% of that contract out in year one without a penalty from the company. And after year one, 10% per year. So you have some liquidity. Could you take it all out? Sure, but you would suffer the surrender charges on anything over your free withdrawal. But the same sorts of things. These products go to your beneficiaries. Maybe an important point for people is that annuities avoid probate. They precede your will. In case that bears repeating, the money goes directly to your beneficiaries. Mm-hmm. It doesn't get stuck in a will. Now, when might that be extremely important? Let's say you're leaving somebody some property. You know, all my money's in my house. I'm going to leave my house to my kids. Well, who's going to pay that mortgage if there is one? Until this money gets freed up.
And that takes a long time sometimes. Yeah.
It can take a long time. And those annuities might generate the cash or, you know, or the income in order for them to be able to survive and not have to do a fire sale on that house that you thought was your biggest investment. Yeah, lots and lots of reasons to use different products. Obviously, today we're talking about fixed indexed annuities, but obviously we use everything we can to try and make a good plan for clients. I would just ask Ben for any last words, anything we didn't talk about that you think we missed and was important for this show, Ben.
I would recap that we're in the golden age of annuities, that in this high interest rate environment, insurance companies have more yield. And for that reason, whether it's $10,000 in a scenario that Jess outlined, $100,000, $500,000, 50 to 60% of your portfolio for most retirees, you should have some type of risk mitigation, be that you're mitigating legacy risk, be that you're mitigating market risk or sequence of returns risk, or mitigating longevity risk, i.e. outliving your assets. And there's a lot of different annuity strategies to address that. But just like you don't want to have FOMO about missing out on that so attractive at the bank, the last thing I would want is retirees 5 or 6 years from now when interest rates come back to earth to think, shoot, I could have gotten myself either a really, really great private pension and retirement in the form of guaranteed income, a really, really strong long-term accumulation strategy as a complement to the market, something a little safer, or a really, really good legacy strategy.
So I just want to thank Ben Braverman from SMS Financial Services again for joining us. And I hope you'll come back again.
Well, let's get your phone number, Francis.
413-773-3333 here at Hug Your Money.
Or you can visit info@hugyourmoney.com. Ben Braverman, Dr. Francis Ram, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jess.
Have you heard about Get the Tea? It's an online herbal supplement company with high quality standards. You cannot find these in stores. They carry cleansing teas and targeted herbal supplements for all your health needs. Go to getthetea.com today to order yours. Health shouldn't be put off. It should be a priority. And check out their specials page for sale items. That's getthetea.com. Enter code TEA123 for 10% off exclusively for my listeners. Getthetea.com, code TEA123. Order today.
This is Frances Rayum, the Money Doctor. Now you can become 100% debt-free, budget successfully, and retire well, all under the Hug Your Money umbrella.
I don't blame her for what happened. I blame myself. As long as I'm working and making some money, I'm happy. Rather than argue with her about stuff, I would just say, oh, whatever, do what you need to do. And the same thing for her sometimes. The friction, and it was just causing trouble in our relationship because I wanted to say, we don't have the money for this. You can't buy that. But yet, I don't want to deny it to her.
Because I do all the books, he has no idea about the budget. He has no idea what I have to do to manage a budget. Actually, I don't believe very much in fairy godmothers. But mama.
Debt, budget, retirement. HUG works best when we work together. Schedule your free consultation with a Hug Your Money coach today. Visit HugYourMoney.com. Hug Your Money. So unique, it's patented.